I want to say a couple of things about things that are going on. One, we had a great wedding here last night. You see the McWilliams sitting back there. David walked down this aisle and gave away this beautiful girl raised in this church, beautiful girl, to this hairy-legged boy. And he left with her. And it was just amazing to see that happen. It was just good. It was the only reception I've ever been to, wedding, where on the way to the reception you had an opportunity to get your picture made with Bevo. And so I did that. That's good. It's a great, great wedding. And if you see them, hand him a dollar. He could use it. Yeah, it'd be good. The Starks are going up near Chicago, leaving. People are going to say goodbye to them this week. But boy, the Starks are great folks. And I would just like for y'all to stand here. I know you're going to have a party, but just would y'all stand up so people can just see you and so we can express our appreciation to you. Thank y'all. Thank you. Just great, great people. Now, a third thing, this group of cloudy witnesses, this is one of the, we're always talking about high points in the women's ministry. That's all they have, is high points. But this is an exquisitely framed and executed morning. When these four great ladies of faith come and talk about their faith journey to all the rest of the ladies, it is an extraordinary morning. And the ladies that I know just adore this morning every year. It's just so sweet. And that continental breakfast, I don't know which continent it's going to be this year, but it'll be one of them. And you'll probably enjoy it. Hope it's not Antarctica, but hope you'll enjoy that. Then on Sunday, our special contribution. We only have a few of these every year, but what a wonderful time! We have two special contributions for the poor on Mother's Day and on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And this coming Sunday, Mother's Day, what an appropriate day to remember that at Micah 6 and at the Christian Service Center, very often, most often, it is the mother or the grandmother of the family who comes because of the needs that are in the family and goes and gets the food or comes and asks for the assistance with the utilities or whatever else is going on. Very often, it is the mother. Very often, there are children in mind as these requests are made. I got to take one of the phone calls. Sometimes the phone calls come to the church office. This is last week, and the woman was talking and asking for help. In the background, you could hear the children, as some of you make those same kinds of phone calls. In the background, you will be able to hear the children. You could hear the children as they're making their noises, and so you could tell that this was an expression of need that was coming out of the context, not of just need, but a family. And so what an appropriate day for that. And then just kind of keep on your radar that we will probably do something on behalf of tornado victims in the future too. Anyway, all of that's very, very important. We are able to do this. We are able to be people who appreciate a wedding, who appreciate faithful friends who have come to us and now leave us. We are able to appreciate the lives of our great ladies of faith. We are able to appreciate an opportunity to give for the sake of those who are in need because we are people called together out of the world by the great love of God. And we are called to be the people of God out of God's great love. And by His great love, He transforms us into people capable of responding in this way. And so this morning, as we talk about our series on the Lord's Prayer, we rejoined that after Easter last week. We remember that we have prayed already today. Our Father who art in heaven, we have prayed that. Hallowed be Your name. We have remembered that we want God's kingdom rule to come on earth as it is in heaven. We have acknowledged that God is the one who faithfully gives us our daily bread and gives us then also the confidence to live in today, knowing that He has taken care of our past and He is going to offer us His companionship into the future. And as people who are believing in God and holding God holy and receiving God's rule and living under God's blessing, then we come to Him acknowledging that He is the God who has always been willing to forgive us our debts, to keep us forgiven, to forgive our sins, to forgive our trespasses, as so many translations say in all of their various ways. And so we want to begin with this notion, forgiveness. Father, forgive us. Underlying this, as we've said in our Bible class this morning, underlying this is the assumption that we understand that between us and God, there is a kind of distance that comes because of our behavior. Listen to the language of Isaiah chapter 59. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. Isaiah writes that we are people who have sinned, and there are several different words for sin. In our Bible class, we did this, but some of you didn't quite make it to Bible class this morning, so we're going to do Bible class light for you. And that's not bad. But there are five ways that sin's talked about in the New Testament. That we talk about aiming at a target and missing it. Having a line beyond which we should not go and crossing it. Having a place where we're trying to stand and slipping off of that place. That there is a kind of lawlessness that we, by force of will and habit and resistance, just continue to do what we want to do. And have in mind, perhaps, some place in us that nobody's going to be the boss of me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That kind of willfulness. And then the specific word that is in this text, in the Lord's Prayer, we have not given our due. We have not paid our debt. We have not offered up to God and our brothers and sisters around us what they would rightfully, legitimately be expecting of us. Now, when you pile all that up and ask yourself, Sharp, don't you love it when people talk about themselves in the third person? I would do that. Do I want to do that? No, Sharp doesn't want to do that. I've missed the mark. There are lines I've crossed. There are places where I thought I was standing that I was slip-sliding away. There are places in my life, I'm sure still, embedded in me where I don't like to be told what to do by God or person. And if we could assess the ways in which God knew what we could be, if God knew what we could become, if all of our spiritual cylinders were firing, if all of our channels were open and clear, if we were able to accomplish and be everything we could be, if we knew the gap between what God knows we could be and what we actually are, we would be stunned, amazed, and no doubt embarrassed. And so I have this sense that the world offers me this sort of good old boy thing. Oh, Eddie, it ain't that bad. Look, everybody has some problems. You missed the market. Well, at least you fired. And you crossed the line. At least you knew there was a line. Give yourself some credit. You slipped. Well, at least you were standing for a while. And you've been willful? Well, you know, God gave you that will. That's who you are. That's the way I am. You know, got your personality. And you're not giving your due. Who gets their due anyway? And so you write yourself this forgiveness, this get out of jail free card. You give yourself permission. There's no reason for God or anybody else to expect me to be any different than I am. I'm going to sing that old invitation song, just as I am is how I'm staying. Let's see how that was. Just as I am is how I'll be. When you come back, I guess you'll see that I've not changed one bit. And I forgot the rest of that, since I was just making it up. This is one of my debts. That we just forgive ourselves. And that we have this fellowship of people who are just cutting each other all kinds of slack. Well, there's grace and there's slack. And they're very different. There's interesting grace and slack. People who cut each other slack say, I just want you to know I have very low expectations of you. Very low. And so far, you are underperforming my low expectations, and it's all right. When you have grace for one another, you have very high expectations of one another. And you understand the nature of the human being, and you offer grace. That's next week's sermon. And we look forward to that already, as I know you will. So the question is, Father, if you know how we miss the mark, how we cross the line, how we slip and fall, how we are willful, and the ways in which we are still in debt, will you forgive? And the answer is that from the very first sin in the garden, God has already from that moment and before that moment been involved in the enterprise of loving forgiveness. The Father says yes, and He has said yes to us now most powerfully in Jesus Christ. Did you hear Isaiah 59? Already in Isaiah 53, surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him and afflicted, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. That is the word of the Father's yes to forgiveness. And so quickly we look at it and we see forgiveness. Jesus forgives sin even during His ministry. Do you remember those sweet moments? There's a place to begin in Luke chapter 5. When a leper comes to Jesus, and when he comes to Jesus, he says, Lord, if You're willing, You can make me clean. Physical leprosy. Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man and said, I am willing, be clean. Nothing you could say says what needs to be said about Jesus' attitude towards sickness and sin than this phrase. If You're willing, You can make me clean. I am willing. Be clean. The very next story in Luke chapter 5, the paralytic is let down through the roof before Jesus. A man paralyzed but has friends who will let him down. Some of you have got friends like that. And this man, who in the presence of Jesus, hears Jesus say the very first word, friend, your sins are forgiven. And I, if I were that friend, I would have said, excuse me, lame. I came because I'm lame, not because I'm guilty. But when Jesus sees this man let down before Him, what is the most obvious need in this man's life to Jesus? That he can walk? No. That he would be forgiven? Yes. And if Jesus sees as our greatest need, our need for forgiveness, then we understand why He came. He didn't come for the lame. He came for those needing forgiveness. And so He comes. I'm trying to back up. in his ministry, he not only forgives sin as he does the man, but as he's going to the cross in Luke, he talks about the people who are around him. And he says to them as he's going to the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Not only that, but on the cross, he tells the thief next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise," a place where the unforgiven are not invited. Jesus is willing to forgive sin. He's willing to forgive sin as he goes to the cross. He's willing to forgive sin on the cross. And then the forgiveness of sin continues on Pentecost, as you know that story, because we come back to that story again and again, that on Pentecost the people are hearing that they have killed the Lord's Christ. And having killed the Lord's Christ, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And the word is repent, turn to God. Are you going to turn to God? Are you going to turn and face an angry God? Why would you turn and face an angry God? The call to repentance is to turn and find the God who is waiting there to forgive you. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Forgiven on Pentecost. So Jesus is in the business of forgiving sin also now. The Pentecost promise awaits those who are coming to Jesus. And the promise of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "For if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Christ cleanses us as we have fellowship with one another." Sweet promise about Jesus and forgiveness. So we are asked to come to the Father through this sweet, sweet forgiveness. I hope that this morning you have a sense of the companionship of God. The companionship of God. That God knows you. That there are not any secrets before God. Just as when the man was let down through the roof, Jesus knew him. Just as the woman in Luke chapter 7 walks into the room and begins anointing with Jesus with her tears, and the people in the room say in their hearts, if Jesus knew who she was, He would not let her touch Him. And Jesus, at the end of that story in Luke chapter 7, says, "Woman, your sins are forgiven." He knew. He knew. And if we believe that Jesus Christ knows us completely and yet comes to us with an offer of forgiveness, then we have a sense of how God is in the world. And so our job today is to receive forgiveness. If you're not in Christ, then we would invite you to come into Christ, to be buried with Christ and raised with Christ, and let the blood of Christ come and wash your sins away. But beyond that, let me ask you, when you pray, "Father, forgive us our debts," do you leave that prayer with a sense of forgiveness? It's very important for God's people to live forgiven. To live with a sense of lightness and glory and sweetness about us. Forgiveness, sure and sweet. You know how hard it is to make a sweet fellowship out of people who don't feel forgiven? To have sweet fellowship out of folks who are still knee-deep in shame because of things that are long gone, years past, that have been forgiven from the mind of God, but not yet even washed out of our own heart. To be able to hear God say, "Forgiven. Now it's different, you see, if you're a leper or a paralytic. You had leprosy. You could see that leprosy. You're forgiven. The leprosy's gone. See, look, obvious. Go show yourself to the priest. Yes. To the paralytic, rise and walk. And the man who was let down through the roof rises. And everybody can see. Now he can walk. He can walk. And yet we believe often in our hearts that while Christ was able to completely heal the one with leprosy and completely heal the man who was paralyzed, we feel that His abilities to deal with our sin is incomplete. So you see what the devil does there? You see what he does? On the one hand, he says, you don't have any sin. You have nothing to be forgiven for. You don't even need to think about it. You just tolerate, put up with lots of slack, as we said. You don't need to worry about that. Ah. But then when you come to know you do have sin and you come through the process of forgiving, then the devil, who doesn't believe it's sin at one end of the room, at the other end of the room goes, you're not really forgiven. That sin, it still got you. And you go to the devil, I didn't think you believed in sin. Well, now I do. Now that the trap is not easy tolerance and not seeking forgiveness, now the trap is if I can keep you feeling guilty and unforgiven, even though the blood of Christ is dripping off of your body, if I can keep you unforgiven, then I still rule in your life. He'll take you either way. He'll take you with a free spirit, thinking you don't need to be forgiven, or He'll take you as one washed in the blood of Jesus but trapped in shame. He'll take you either way, anything to reduce your capacity to live in the world in the joy of Jesus. So on the one hand, this morning, we ask all of us to be very serious about the ways that we live before God. And we hear God calling us away from our missing the mark, crossing the line, slipping and falling, being lawless and willful, or living always in debt. We take that seriously. But then we also take seriously that Christ completely forgives. The blood of Christ is completely effective. And as we live forgiven. May it be so in us. Let's stand and sing together.